Welcome to the Lighthouse Community Podcast. Thank you for joining us today. We hope today's teaching will encourage you in your faith and help you develop an increasing desire to walk with God. Let's listen in.
So the Bible says that we are in constant spiritual battle, that all around us, even right now, there are unseen spiritual forces. Scripture describes them as powers of darkness, even evil, right, that is at work in our midst. So today is Palm Sunday, if you're not aware of that. And Palm Sunday remembers when Jesus entered into Jerusalem with great triumph. And if you don't know that account, there were people, crowds, cheering and celebrating Jesus coming into Jerusalem. What's amazing about that moment is while the crowds are cheering and celebrating Jesus entering into the city, they don't even realize the unseen spiritual battle that's taking place. The fact that Jesus is going to his death to take on the penalty of all sin for all people of all time. Right? And so when the scriptures describe this unseen spiritual battle that's all around us all of the time, it's trying to help us understand that literally right now, for some of us, there is like a fight for your life that's going on, whether you're in the room or whether you're joining online. And the reason I say that is because there is an enemy, his name is Satan, and his goal right now is to keep people blind and deaf to the truth of God. And so he's fighting and working hard to do that. At the exact same time, while that's happening, the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of God himself, right, is actually drawing and wooing people to the Lord. And so while that's happening, he's also like opening people's eyes to truth. He's empowering people to serve and to share. He's granting people freedom, right? All of this is happening in our midst, even right now. When I look back on my own journey, my own faith journey, like I never thought anything about God at all growing up. Like he just wasn't on my radar. I wasn't raised in the church. We didn't talk about God. He just wasn't even on my mind at all. I didn't think about God at all until I started thinking about him. And that was prompted by a friend of mine who started inviting me to go to church. I was hanging out with him and his family, and I saw how they lived, and they were very, very different than how I lived. And I just started thinking a lot more about, like, wow, who is this God? What is he like? I was considering who he was. I was going to church, discovering truth about who God was, reading the Bible, discovering who God was. And then I found out what Jesus did. Right, I had heard what Jesus had done, dying on the cross, being raised from the dead. And I thought more about that, and I thought more about that until one moment I remember being convinced. I was convinced that it was true. I was convinced that I needed what Jesus was offering, and I crossed the line into belief and into faith. And for the last 27 years, Jesus has been changing and transforming my life. Right? I didn't realize that there was an unseen spiritual battle going on in that moment, in that season of my life. Now, after I came to faith, I found out that there were people who had been praying for me to come to faith, right? People like my friend Andy, people like his parents, Debbie and Gary, some pastors from the church that I had started going to, Martin and Dave, one of the guys named Keith who helped out in the student ministries at the church. All of these people had been praying for me to come to faith because they knew that I wasn't a believer. I was investigating, I was learning, I was trying to discover. And here's the crazy thing is God used their prayers as part of leading me to faith. Now, if you ask me the mechanics of how that worked, I can't tell you that, right? I don't know that. But all I do know is that God was using their prayers to draw me and get me to the place to say yes to him. And so here's what I want to tell you this morning. If you're here in the room or you're joining online with us today, is if you're a Christian, there were other Christians who were praying for you before you came to faith, right? Maybe your parents. Maybe it seems like every story, there's somebody's grandmama, right, that was like praying for them to come to faith, right? Or a grandparent, or an auntie, or an uncle, or a friend. I remember after my dad came to faith, I got to meet some of his coworkers. I met two of them in particular, and I remember they had shared with me that they had been praying for my dad for a couple of years that he would come to faith. Which was amazing to me, because here I had been praying for my dad literally for years for him to come to faith, and I didn't realize that there were others who were doing that as well. And so if you're a Christian, there were other Christians who were praying for you to come to faith. And here's what I want to tell you. If you're not a Christian today, you haven't said yes to Jesus yet, and you're searching, you're investigating, here's what you need to know. There are Christians praying for you. They are praying for you to come to faith. In fact, everybody who walked in this room, you walked past like 500 names that are on a wall, and these are names of people that we are praying for, that God would transform and change their lives through faith in Jesus Christ, right? Like it is normal for us to pray for one another and pray for people to come to faith. Now, once someone comes to faith in Jesus Christ, now we're just done praying for them, right? Like it's over, you're in Jesus, you're on your own, right? That's how it works? Okay, maybe not. No, we keep praying for them, right? We pray for people to come to faith. We pray for people to grow in their faith. We pray for people to go with their faith, right? We're constantly praying for one another all of the time. And one of the things that we can pray for, not only praying for people to come to faith, but actually for believers to be very clear and to be very bold about their faith and about the truth of Jesus Christ. And so we're going to be talking a little bit about both of those things this morning. So if you brought a Bible, open up to Ephesians 6, because that's where we're going to be spending a good amount of time today. Ephesians 6, we're talking about how to pray for others. While you're going to Ephesians 6, which is in the New Testament, it's between Galatians and Philippians, kind of towards the back of the Bible. While you're going there, I want to welcome you. Thank you guys for joining us here on Palm Sunday. Really glad you're with us. I want to welcome everybody who's joining us at Lighthouse Online. Thanks for being with us today. Wherever you're at, if you're here in Hancock County, you're somewhere else, thanks for being with us. I want to welcome all of our guests who are in the house with us today. We are so glad that you are here. Thank you for being here. And I'm going to ask you, Lighthouse family, can we take a moment and welcome everybody online and all of our guests here in the house? Let them know we love you. We're grateful for you. Now, if you are a first-time guest, as Pastor Matt mentioned, we want you to come back next Sunday, but not at 9:09, right? You come at 9:09, you're going to be in trouble. So come at 8:30, come at 10, come at 11:30. We'd love for you to be here next weekend. Okay, so Ephesians 6, hopefully you're there by now. We're going to be looking at chapter 6 and verses 18 through 20. Oh, there we go. Now we're going. All right, here's what it says. And pray in the Spirit on all occasions with all kinds of prayers and requests. With this in mind, be alert and always keep on praying for all the Lord's people. Pray also for me, that whenever I speak, words may be given me so that I will fearlessly make known the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in chains. Pray that I may declare it fearlessly as I should. Now, let me give you a little bit of context to the letter to the Ephesians. This was a church that Paul had helped to start, and he writes this letter to them, and the whole first half of the letter, he's talking about what it means to be in Christ, what has changed about our identity and who we are, and all of the work that Jesus has accomplished. We used to be dead, but now we're alive. We used to be divided, but now we're united, right? All of this truth about who Jesus is, what he's done, who we are in Christ. That's chapters 1 through 3. Then you get to chapters 4 through 6, and the whole second half of this letter is all about, okay, now that that's true, if you're a Christian, this is all true for you, how do we live? How do we live in light of the fact that Jesus has rescued us from sin and from death? And one of the ways that Paul talks about that is in the area of prayer. And so the passages that we read, he really begins to talk about how we can pray for other people. So we're going to talk about how do we do that? What are the ways that we can be praying for other people in our lives? And here's the first way is you got to be ready to pray. You just got to be ready to pray, right? That passage says, always like be alert, praying on all occasions with all kinds of requests for all of the Lord's people, right? There's this idea of being ready to pray at a moment's notice. That, like, if you're going to pray for others, you've got to be ready. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 17 puts it this way: pray continually. Other translations translate that, pray without ceasing, right? That there's this idea that we're constantly praying. I'm not just praying before meals. I'm not just praying at the beginning of my day during my quiet time. I'm not just praying when things are going bad, but actually I am praying all the time. I am praying continually. And the message that really comes out of Ephesians 6 and this passage too is that prayer is absolutely central to walking with God. Prayer is absolutely central to walking with God. When you read through the scriptures, it talks so much about prayer and what prayer accomplishes. The Bible says things like this, that prayer is one of the key ways that Christians battle and overcome temptation in their lives. It's through prayer. The Bible says that prayer, it's through prayer that we receive God's direction and guidance in our lives. The Bible describes prayer as being one of those things that unites the body of Christ in the Spirit around one common cause and one common purpose. We see places in the New Testament that invite us to pray for one another, to pray for healing, to pray for comfort, to pray for God's presence to show up, right? Prayer is also one of the key ways of worship. This is how we worship God. And so when you begin to look through the Bible, you begin to see that prayer is absolutely essential. It's not optional, right? It's not if you have time. It's not, well, you know, it seems like a good idea now. It's actually we are always ready to pray. One example of this is a guy in the New Testament. You've heard of him before, maybe not. His name is Epaphras. And Epaphras was a ministry partner with Paul from his, most believe that he was from Colossae. And Paul writes a letter to the Colossians, and he talks about his ministry partner, Epaphras. And he says this: Epaphras, a servant of Christ Jesus from your city. So this is a hometown boy, right? This is a local guy. And he says, Epaphras greets you. He always prays. Circle that word, always prays. He always prays intensely for you. He prays that you will continue to be mature and completely convinced of everything that God wants. I love guys like Epaphras from the scriptures. Here's a guy in his own time. He is just praying for other people. Other versions talk about that he is constantly fighting in prayer for you. He is constantly battling in prayer for you. And he's praying for things like that his brothers and sisters would grow in maturity, that they would believe more and more deeply about the truth of who God is and what he's accomplished, right? Like, it is normal for followers of Jesus Christ to pray. And if you're going to be ready to pray, you've got to be alert, right? You've got to be alert. What do we mean when we say be alert or be ready to pray? Well, have you ever been like on a trip, you're driving in a new town and it's like nighttime and you're like looking for a certain street, right? Even if you got Google or Apple or whoever's giving you directions, you're driving, it's nighttime, and you're trying to pay attention, you're trying to be ready to turn as soon as it tells you to turn, and so you're driving a little bit slower, you're scanning, you're looking at all the signs, you turn the radio down so you can see better, right? Like, all you're doing all this stuff. Have you been there, right? Have you been there? Yes. Okay. That's what it's like to be alert. You're on the ready. You're prepared. Your eyes are scanning. You're trying to take in everything you can in that moment so you can respond very, very quickly. That's what it looks like to be ready for prayer. Let me give you a really clear example of what I'm talking about. So sometimes when I'm talking with people, they might share a challenge that they're facing or maybe a need that they have in their life, right? And it just kind of comes out while they're talking about it. And they'll say, hey, would you pray for me about this thing? And I'm always like, yes, I will definitely pray for you. But here's what I do is I don't just say I'm going to pray for you. I always follow up with this. Can I pray for you right now? right? Not later, not if I remember it, not I'll tell you I'll pray for you and then I'll forget about it until I see you again and go, and right before I walk up, oh Lord, please bless them for the thing. And then I say, oh yeah, I was just praying for you, right? Like, yeah, been praying for you all the way up till now without ceasing. No, I just pray for them right there in that moment. Actually, it was 2 weeks ago, I had a friend call me about a situation that their friend was going through. And they're like, man, I'm just looking for help. How do I help them? How do I walk with them? And so we talked through that and we were about to end the phone call. I was in my truck. I had just gotten home and we were about to end the call. And I said, hey, before we get off, do you have a moment that we can pray together? And he's like, yes. And so in my truck, over the phone, wherever he was, I don't know where he was, we just prayed together and we prayed for his friend and we prayed for that situation and we asked God to step in. Last Sunday, after the second service, I met a woman who was here. She's newer to the church, and so she was sharing some things that were going on in her life, and so she was getting ready to leave, and I said, hey, before you go, can we take a moment and pray together? And she was like, oh, yeah, I would love that. And so we took a moment, and we prayed together right there by the Connection Center, by the First Time Guest Gifts, and you know, it's just, that's what it is to be ready to pray, right? Do you know what the difference between promising to pray for somebody later and just praying for them right now is? You know what that difference is? When you pray for somebody right now in real time, you're showing them that you do care about what they just shared with you, right? You heard them, and it matters to them, and so it matters to you. You're also discipling them in real time, right? You're showing them how they can serve and shepherd other people around them, and you're showing them what it looks like to trust God. To go, yes, challenges are real. Situations we face can be difficult and challenging, and immediately we can just go to the Lord with those things. So here's a next step I want to encourage you to consider. It's on the back of your connection card, and it's the third one down, and it says, I'm turning the radio down this week, so I'm ready to pray, right? Right. So you're turning it down so you can see better. So this week, maybe you might make some space for silence, to listen to the Spirit, right? To be ready to pray. So maybe like your commute to work, instead of, you know, bebop into Prince or whoever it is that you jam out to or listening to a podcast or whatever, what if you actually, that drive, you were silent and you just asked the Spirit to lead you in that moment for prayer? And if a name comes to your mind, you pray for them immediately. If a situation comes up, you ask the Lord to give guidance and leadership in that, right? That's what it looks like to be ready to pray, having intentional times, being alert to the Spirit, always being ready. So if we're going to pray for others, you got to be ready. Here's the second thing if you're going to pray for others. Depend on the Spirit's promptings. Depend on the Spirit's promptings. Now, in Ephesians 6, Paul said, pray in the Spirit at all times, right? What does that mean? What does it mean to pray in the Spirit? We're going to define that here in just a second, but what we need to do first is talk about who is the Holy Spirit. Who is the Holy Spirit, and what does he do? And so let's walk through that really quickly. The Holy Spirit is God. He's not an energy. He's not a force. He's not an it. He's not an impersonal, present that's out there. The Spirit of God in the Bible is always described as a person. And he is one member of the Trinity, right? Now, the Trinity, so simple to understand, right? no, the Trinity may be one of the most deepest, thoughtful understandings of who God is. Because what the Trinity is, let me share what it isn't. The Trinity does not mean there are three gods. That's not what the Trinity expresses. The Trinity does not express that there's a God who operates in three parts. And, you know, and with their powers combined, they are Captain Planet, right? No, that's not what we're talking about, okay? When the Bible, when we're talking about the Trinity, we're describing that there is one God, right? There's only one God. There's not three, there's not more, there's not less. There's one God. And this one God is three persons, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And each person is fully God. The Father is fully God. The Son is fully God, and the Holy Spirit is fully God. That's what we mean when we're talking about the Trinity, those three statements. And as soon as you try to use some analogy, some idea, something, right, it just falls apart, right? Oh, Patrick, right? It just goes to pot. And so you have to understand, there's one God. He's three persons, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, and each person is fully God. Now, Jesus talks about the Holy Spirit very, very specifically in a detailed way in John chapters 14 through 17, okay? So if you want to kind of see really in-depth detail about the Holy Spirit, what Jesus has to say about him, go to John chapter 14 through 17, read through that. I'm going to give you a really quick synopsis of some of the things that Jesus talks about the Spirit. He says things like this, that the Holy Spirit reminds us of truth. This is one of his primary ministries. He reminds us of truth from Scripture. He reminds us of the things that Jesus taught on and talked about. Another role the Holy Spirit plays is the Holy Spirit reveals your spiritual condition. Right? The Bible talks about that in terms of conviction. He convicts us of sin and righteousness. Right? And so he's revealing our spiritual condition. And then a third way is that the Holy Spirit reveals Jesus, says he glorifies. One of the primary ministries of the Holy Spirit is constantly shining a light on Jesus, glorifying him, okay? Now, there's more things that the Holy Spirit does, but those are three that he talks about really clearly in John chapter 14 through 17. So, when we talk about praying in the Spirit, let me give you just a really quick working definition about praying in the Spirit. Praying in the Spirit is this. It's learning to rely on the Holy Spirit to guide and empower your prayers. This is what it looks like. This is what it means to pray in the Spirit. To rely on the Holy Spirit to guide and empower your prayer. And so, let me give you some examples. Asking the Holy Spirit to remind you of truth from the Bible and then using that truth to pray, that's praying in the Spirit. That's exactly what praying in the Spirit looks like. Praying for the Holy Spirit to open your unsaved friend's eyes to their need for Jesus. That's praying in the Spirit. Okay? Praying in alignment for the fruit of the Spirit, the character of Christ, and the will of God to be evident in your own life. That's praying in the Spirit. That's what praying in the Spirit looks like, right? Praying in the Spirit is far less about ecstatic utterances, okay? Now, there is one place in the Bible, if you want to go check it out, 1 Corinthians chapter 14 talks about that with great clarity, and it says, yeah, that's a part of that. And one of the things that Paul talks about is if you're going to do that, you do that in private. And if you're going to do that, you really don't do that in the larger corporation of the church, right? Because there's all kinds of restriction parameters within that, right, if you're going to do that. And so this ecstatic utterances. So praying in the Spirit is far more about learning to rely on the Spirit's leading and guiding, praying in truth, praying for Jesus to be glorified, praying for eyes to be opened to the reality and the truth of Jesus. That is far more what praying in the Spirit looks like than anything else. Now, did you know that Jesus prayed in the Spirit in John chapter 17? He prays in the Spirit in John chapter 17. How do I know? Well, he prays for things like this. Father, give me the ability to glorify you as you glorify me. What's one of the primary roles of the Holy Spirit? To shine a light on Jesus. Jesus is praying in the Spirit. He's praying in alignment with truth. Another thing he prays for, he asked God to guide and protect his disciples as they went forward with the good news throughout the world. Jesus is praying in the Spirit, right? He prays for himself. He prays for the disciples. Did you know that Jesus even prayed for you? Did you know that? Jesus prayed for you. Jesus prayed for me, right? Look at this. John chapter 17, verses 20 through 21, it says this. I am praying not only for these disciples, but also for all who will ever believe in me through their message. That's you. That's me. If you've believed in Jesus Christ, Jesus is praying for you. And this is what he prays. I pray that they will all be one, just as you and I are one. As you are in me, Father, and I am in you. And may they be in us so that the world will believe that you sent me. This is a prayer in the Spirit, if there's ever a prayer to be read. This is what it looks like to pray in the Spirit, praying in alignment with truth, praying for eyes to be open, praying for the character of God, for the glory of Jesus to be clear and evident. And the number one way to be ready to pray in the Spirit is this: read and study the Bible. If you want to pray in the Spirit, it begins with reading the Bible and studying the Bible. Why? Because as you read, you're discovering the character of God. As you read, you're discovering and you're being reminded of God's will. As you read, you are learning the teachings of Jesus. And what Jesus said, one of the roles of the Spirit is he reminds you of truth that you've heard. Okay? So now, the Holy Spirit can't remind you of things you never knew in the first place. Right? We don't call that reminding. We call that learning. Right? And so the Spirit reminds you of what you have read, remind you of what you have heard, remind you of what Jesus has said. And so as you pray, the Spirit reminds you of all of that. So practically, so some Sunday mornings I'll serve as a prayer leader at the end of the service, or as I've mentioned, I'll pray with people out in different places here in the building, out in the community, and all of that. People will share a need with me, and I'll say, hey, can we pray? And they're like, yes. One of the first prayers that I pray in my head, in my spirit, before I pray out loud, is I ask, Holy Spirit, remind me of truth from Scripture that's applicable to what they just shared. Because I don't just want to pray random words, right? I don't want to pray the same prayer that I pray every single time. I want to pray truth. I want to pray Scripture over their lives in this situation. And so the very first prayer that I pray is, Holy Spirit, bring to my remembrance truth from the Scripture that's in line with what they just shared, or truth that they need, or truth that their friend needs, or truth from this situation, right? And then, when the Holy Spirit reminds me of that, then I begin to pray that Scripture over them. Like that's praying in the Spirit. That's what that looks like. Now, some of you might be going, okay, well, what's a Scripture that I could use that maybe the Spirit would remind me to pray for others? Well, a friend this last week reminded me of this passage from Acts chapter 26, verse 18. And actually, let's read this passage out loud together, starting with, you will open their eyes. Are you ready? Go. You will open their eyes and turn them from darkness to light and from Satan's control to God's. Then they will receive forgiveness for their sins and a share among God's people who are made holy by believing in me. What a great passage to commit to memory and ask the Spirit to remind you as you pray for friends who are far from the Lord, as you pray for coworkers who you know don't know who Jesus is, to pray that the Spirit would open their eyes, would turn them from their sin, turn them to God and his goodness, that they would know the joy of walking in new life with Jesus Christ and be a part of the family of God. This is what it looks like to pray in the Spirit. This is what it looks like to be ready to pray in the Spirit and to follow his promptings as you're going to pray for others. Okay, here's the third way. If you're going to pray for others, we're going to pray for clear truth. Pray for clear truth. So as I mentioned earlier today, as you and I are praying for people to come to faith, at the exact same time, Satan is fighting to keep people blind and opposed to God, right? So that spiritual battle is taking place in real time. Now, here's where prayer becomes so important. You need to understand how the Scriptures, how God describes somebody who hasn't said yes to Jesus yet. Look at this from Ephesians 4. This was my state of mind before I came to faith in Jesus Christ. This is each person's state of mind and life, maybe not to the nth degree, but to some layer. Everybody starts in this place. It says this: their minds are full of darkness. They wander far from the life God gives because they have closed their minds and hardened their hearts against him. They have no sense of shame. They live for lustful pleasure and eagerly practice every kind of impurity, right? And so what the Bible is describing here is that people who have not said yes to Jesus are under the influence and leadership of sin and Satan. You have to know that. So nobody's neutral. right? There's not like evil and good, and then there's a group of people who are in between, and you know, and it's just what it is. No, no, you're either with God or you're opposed to God. That's the only two categories there are. Okay. And if you're not walking with God, this is where you're at, right? This is where people are at. So the reason I bring this up, if this is the condition that I was in before I met Jesus Christ, it requires the supernatural work of God for somebody to be set free from this, right? Like, do I really think my cute little presentation about the gospel is enough to break somebody free from sin and the hold that Satan has on them? Now, it's the work of God. The Spirit of God has to open somebody's eyes. The Spirit of God has to wake somebody up to be able to come to faith in Jesus. The Spirit of God has to release people from their slavery to be able to say yes. And this is where prayer comes into it, right? It takes the supernatural power of prayer. It takes the supernatural power of the Holy Spirit of God to break through these barriers. 2 Corinthians 10, I think, helps us understand this a little bit better. We're human, but we don't wage war as humans do. We use God's mighty weapons, not worldly weapons, to knock down the strongholds of human reasoning and to destroy false arguments. We destroy every proud obstacle that keeps people from knowing God. We capture the rebellious thoughts and teach them to obey Christ. Now, it talks about these mighty weapons that we have. We don't wage war the way that the world does, but we use God's mighty weapons. What are God's mighty weapons? Well, it's things like prayer. That's one of God's mighty weapons, prayer. Another weapon would be truth. Another weapon would be compassion. And another mighty weapon of God that we use in these situations is forgiveness, humility, faith, obedience to Jesus, right? Like this is what it looks like to wage war in the heavenly realms. These are the weapons, and they are far more powerful than anything else that you and I have at our disposal. Do you realize that forgiveness is like a heat-seeking missile to a hard heart? Truth shared with humility can demolish human arguments and reasoning for opposing God. These are the weapons we wage war with. It's prayer. And this is exactly why Paul, he wrote in Ephesians 6, he's like, listen, pray for me. Pray that I'll speak with boldness and pray that I'll speak with clarity about the wonderful mystery of Jesus. And it's not a mystery because nobody can understand it. It's a mystery because how could God be so good to people like us? That's the mystery of the gospel. How could a holy, righteous, awesome, blameless God be so kind and merciful and generous to rebellious people who fly a middle finger in his face every day? That's the mystery of the gospel, that God would love you and me to that depth and offer us a way to come home. And Paul says, pray for me to have boldness. Pray for me to speak and to share the gospel as I should. Why? Why does he pray for that? Because sometimes Paul got afraid. And I think he had every right to be. If you read the life of Paul, he traveled around sharing the gospel, and he was imprisoned, and he was opposed. And there was a time when people took gigantic stones and they dropped them down on top of him until they thought he was dead. He had to run for his life from different times, right? There were times where Paul, the only reason you ask for boldness to share the gospel is because you know you have moments of fear. Paul, the greatest missionary that we know of, was afraid sometimes to talk about Jesus. And so we don't only pray for people to come to faith, but we also pray for brothers and sisters to go and be clear about our faith and to be clear about the good news of Jesus. Why? Because sometimes we get afraid. Have you ever been there? Wide open door. Like, man, there's an opportunity, like maybe it's at work and people are talking about spiritual things and truth and God, and somebody asks like the big question and you're like, oh, there's the open door. And all of a sudden, the palms get sweaty, the heartbeat starts to go up, right? And you're like, what do I say? I'm not ready. I'm not, do I do three circles? Do I do the two questions? Do I do the four spiritual laws? What do I do? Right? And you get nervous. And then before you know it, the opportunity is gone. And you're going, oh, have you been there? right? This is why praying for other believers is so important, right? Actually praying for people when it comes to sharing the gospel, because these moments happen all the time. If you're a Christian, I don't know if you know this, Paul talks about this in the passage that we read, Ephesians 6. If you're a Christian, you're an ambassador. Do you know that? You're an ambassador for Christ. And an ambassador travels to foreign nations, right, to talk about and build relationships with other people. And so you're God's representative in a whole new world, right? This world is no longer your home. If you're a Christian, this world is no longer your home, right? You are a foreigner, you are a traveler, you are an ambassador, building relationships, sharing truth. And if you're an ambassador, the king's priorities are your priorities. The ambassador only talks about what the king wants to talk about. Right? You and I are Christ's ambassadors, telling others about the kingdom of God and inviting them to experience it for themselves. So when you pray for your church family specifically by name, you are asking the Holy Spirit to strengthen, encourage, embolden, and give them the power to share truth. And so this is what it looks like to pray in the Spirit. A name pops into your mind out of nowhere in the middle, like it's 1:30 in the afternoon, and all of a sudden, like Scott comes to your mind. You're like, whoa, that's weird. That's probably a prompting from the Spirit to pray for Scott. Scott may have an open door to share the gospel right now. Scott might be going through a really tough situation. And to have brothers and sisters praying for him would mean the world, right? And the Spirit would strengthen him and empower him, especially in these moments of fear that we can have boldness. And so when we pray, we don't only pray for people to come to faith, but we can pray for brothers and sisters to be clear about the truth of the gospel. Now, over the last few weeks, we've been asking you to share the names of people who you're hoping they'll say yes to Jesus. And it's like north of 500 names that you've been praying for and we've all been praying for together over these last couple of weeks. And what we've done is we've just spent the last 25 minutes or so learning how to pray for others. So, guess what? We're going to do it right now, okay? So I'm going to ask everybody here in the house, I'm going to ask everybody joining the line as well, just wherever you're at, bow your heads and close your eyes. I'm going to walk you through a guided time of prayer for just a moment, okay? Here's what I want you to do. I want you to pray for two people. Here's the first person. I want you to picture a person who you know who isn't a follower of Jesus, okay? Get their name in your mind, get their face in your mind, think about who they are specifically. Now, ask the Spirit to guide you on how you might pray for them right now, right? What verses come to mind? And pray for God to save them, to open their eyes and draw them to faith in Jesus. I want to give you a moment to pray for those people right now. You can pray for things like an open door. You can pray for things like when that open door is there, that you would now open your mouth to share the good news of Jesus. And then you can pray for them to have an open heart to receive the truth of who God is and what Jesus has done. Okay, we're staying in a mode of prayer. Here's the second person I want you to pray for. Picture a person in your mind. This is another growing follower of Jesus. This is a brother or sister in Christ. Get their name in your mind. Get their face in their mind. Okay, you got them? Okay, here's what you're going to pray. You're going to ask God to open doors for them to talk about their faith in Jesus. You're going to pray for them to be filled with the truth from Scripture. And you're going to ask the Spirit to give them boldness and clarity when they do share and they talk about Jesus. I'm going to give you a moment to pray for them. Father, we recognize that there is so much more to this world than what is just right here in front of us and intangible and can be touched. We recognize that you wage war in the heavenly realms. And we recognize that ultimately you win. You are victorious. This is what we're celebrating next weekend, and quite frankly, every single day. And so we're simply asking you, God, we're asking you, Holy Spirit, to open up doors, open up opportunities, open up eyes for people to see the truth of Jesus with amazing clarity. And I pray for every single born-again believer who can hear the sound of my voice right now that you would grant us the ability to always be ready to share for the reason that we have hope in Jesus, and that we would do so with boldness, with clarity, and with humility and kindness. Inviting people and welcoming them home in Jesus Christ. Now, let me tell you what we've all just done. You have just engaged in spiritual battle. You have just prayed in the Spirit. This is what it looks like to be ready to pray. Now, over the next few weeks, God is going to be leading people to cross the line of faith, to say yes to him through faith in Jesus Christ. Some of those people are going to be friends, family, coworkers who you have been praying for the last few days, weeks, months, perhaps even years. And for some, God's actually going to use your prayers to prompt them to open their eyes and to open their doors to the clarity of who Jesus is. And some, you're going to have these moments of just like strength and empowerment and boldness and going like, wow, where did that come from to talk about Jesus so clearly? There was probably a brother or sister praying for you, right? How cool is that? And so what I want to encourage you over the next coming weeks and months, stay in the fight. Battle for the souls of people. Trust God to be the one to change lives through faith in Jesus Christ. Be ready to pray. Listen to the Spirit's promptings and be clear and humble about the truth of Jesus Christ. That's what it looks like to pray for other people.
Thanks for joining us. If you'd like to learn more about Lighthouse Community, check out our website at mylighthousecommunity.com or connect with us on Facebook. You're invited to join us live Sunday mornings at 9:09 or 11:11. Thanks again for listening to the Lighthouse Community Podcast.